Good Friday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening Commodity Market Report. A new report from the Kansas City Federal Reserve says that longer trading hours in the U.S. corn futures market have exposed the market to more violent price swings. Exchange operator CME Group Incorporated's move last year to lengthen the trading day for its benchmark agricultural markets has led to, according to the report, brief shocks to prices around the release of key U.S. government crop reports. Nathan Kaufman, an economist at the Kansas City Fed's Omaha branch and the author of the paper, wrote that the swings, which he found typically last 30 to 60 minutes, can be a headache for agricultural producers that manage their price risk throughout the day. A spokesperson for CME Group had no immediate comment. This morning, private exporters reported to USDA export sales of 284,000 metric tons of soybeans for delivery to China during the 2013-14 marketing year. Also going out the door today, 126,000 metric tons of soybeans for delivery to unknown destinations, also during the 2013-14 marketing year. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is 15,114. It's up 2.75 points. The NASDAQ sitting at 3,078, up 7. And the S&P 500 is 1656. It is up 1 point. Joining us now with a look at the weekend agricultural weather forecast is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Most of the U.S. Midwest will likely see restricted amounts of rainfall over the next 7 to 10 days and temperatures that will be working their way higher over time. The majority of the region will not likely encounter a significant amount of precipitation for a while. The outlook is not a great deal different from yesterday. One of the main reasons why there won't be much precipitation across the region is that tropical disturbance that's near the Gulf of Mexico over the Yucatan Peninsula. And as that disturbance drifts to the north over the next couple of days, we'll likely see waves of rain moving through the region from northern Florida into parts of North Carolina. These areas will likely end up with 2 to 5 inches of rain and perhaps some local totals in northwestern Florida getting upwards around 7 inches. There will be some flooding, especially in Georgia, where it's already rained heavily the past 2 days. The situation is not very good for crops there. But my point for bringing that up, though, is the fact that with all the tropical moisture concentrated on the southeastern part of the U.S., there won't be much opportunity for precipitation to work higher up into the heart of the Midwest. The weather will likely be in control of a high-pressure system, which will be settled over the region. Surface high pressure will be over Illinois the next couple of days and probably will drift a little bit further to the east as we move into Sunday and Monday. A little bit of shower activity will occur as this high pressure system shifts to the east, but don't expect it to be very impressive. Most of the rain totals will be light, running just a few hundredths of an inch, upwards to a quarter of an inch, maybe local totals to about a half inch, and that'll be about as great as it gets. With temperatures likely to rise during this period of time into the 80s, we're going to see that evaporation rates will likely counter a great deal of that precipitation, making a net drying biased environment quite likely. A little bit further to the west, in the western Corn Belt, there's not going to be much precipitation over these next few days either, with the exception maybe of eastern sections of the Dakotas and Minnesota, where an occasional frontal boundary will slip into the region, producing a few hundredths of an inch upwards to a quarter of an inch of rain, and every once in a while maybe as much as 5 or 6 tenths of an inch. The precipitation will be mostly North Dakota and Minnesota, but maybe a few neighboring areas could be impacted at one time or another. Iowa may get a few showers, but they too will be in a net drying mode for a while now, probably a good week to 10 days worth of that, and that will likely create a new environment that's going to be stressful for some of these crop areas that did not get significant relief over the past couple of weeks. We do anticipate high temperatures rising rather notably over the next few days, but not becoming excessively hot. Yesterday afternoon was rather interesting with high temperatures mostly in the upper 60s in the middle Missouri River Basin. Otherwise, most of the Midwest had temperatures in the 70s for highs. By this time next week, we'll be in the 80s with some lower 90s expected in the western Corn Belt. There might even be some middle 90s in some of the western fringes of Corn Belt country, and that will be followed by low temperatures mostly in the 50s and 60s. We could see a few lower 70 degree minimum temperatures in the west and southern parts of the Corn Belt by the time we get to the end of next week. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for this agricultural weather report comes from Busey. Busey believes that healthy businesses strengthen our local economy. They have a commercial banking team with 20-plus years of experience providing lending solutions to meet unique business needs. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Let's see how futures are trading. Hard red winter wheat for December, 701 and a quarter down 5. Soft December wheat, 644, down 5.5. September corn, 474 and a quarter, down 7 and a quarter. December, 466, down 6 and a quarter. September soybeans are 1287 and three quarters, down a half. November, 1260 and three quarters, down 4 and three quarters. September soybean meal, 409.60, down 20 cents. September soybean oil, 43.08, down 4. August live cattle, 124.55, up 85. August feeders, 154.37.5, up 27.5. Now they're up 20. And October lean hogs are 87.27.5, and they are down 2.5. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing, and he is in Champaign, Illinois. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Dave.
What do you think the trade is going to make of the 10-day forecast?
Well, I think that there's concern out here as far as some possibility of damage that could be done by freeze. And really, this 10-day forecast kind of warms things up a little bit, so I'm not sure that it's not a little bit negative from that standpoint. But, of course, it doesn't really put us out there into – I mean, it just barely gets us into September now, so – probably the big news overnight was we did see NAS come out and say that they that the FSA data probably wouldn't alter their estimate on the corn acres, which is kind of, you know, there was kind of two camps going there yesterday, those that were reacting to the FSA acres and those that, you know, were saying, but look at the correlation, there's really not much correlation historically. So that may have kind of put that to rest for now, anyhow.
Well, I had a conversation with Joe Prasaki on this very issue this morning. He is, of course, the head of NAS.
Mm-hmm.
And he tells me that they kind of use the FSA data as it trickles into them. So, you know, to the degree that they had already had received data before the release of the big data, a few days ago, they had pretty much had knowledge of.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that, you know, if you look back at the past several years here, when you look at the prevent plant number that's on, the August FSA dump there, I'm not sure that I see where it really correlates in their final number anyhow.
Mm-hmm. So what do we make of the trade this week? What do we make of the straight-up trade that we've seen this week in soybeans, although we're taking a little bit of a breather today, and the erratic sideways trade that we're seeing in the corn?
Okay, let's start with the beans because I think that one's a little bit simpler. I think we have seen some dryness, and that hurt the soybeans some and caused some concerns from the standpoint of the soybeans. I mean, the soybeans aren't made yet, and we do have more susceptibility on beans if we would have an early freeze, at least in some areas. I think that's what's gotten into the bean market. The corn, I just kind of think that we got oversold. We had a lot of nervous shorts down there who had sold heavily on a, you know, record yield type talk, and anything that comes out that kind of takes away from that makes them nervous and makes them cover shorts, and that's kind of what we saw. The Tuesday market is the one I really can't understand, you know, where we had the funds sold, you know, 15,000-16,000 contracts, I believe, if I remember.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, Dave.
That's Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing, and he is in Champaign, Illinois. Let's go ahead and look at some contracts and see how they are trading. We'll give you a little bit of an expanded look as it is Friday. September hard red winter wheat is at $7, and it is down 3. The December, 701 and a half, down 4 and 3 quarters. September wheat is the soft is 632 and a quarter, down 5 and a quarter. December is 644, down 5 and a half. September corn, 473 and a half, down 8. December, 465 and 3 quarters, down 6 and a quarter. March is 478 and a quarter, down 6 and a quarter. May, 486, down 6 and a half. July is 493, down 6. And go out to December of 14, it's 501, down 7 and 3 quarters. September soybeans are 1286 and 3 quarters, down 1 and a half. November, 1259 and a quarter, down 6 and a quarter. January, 1262 and a half, down 5 and 3 quarters. March, 1255 and a half, down 4 and a half. May, 1242, down 4 and a quarter. And July is 1243 and 3 quarters, down 4 and 3 quarters. September soybean meal, 409, down 80. September soybean oil, 4311, down 1. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's 9:01 Central Time.